I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, may we always remember that freedom is not free. God, may we today, even as we freely worship together in this space, pause to thank you not only for those who have served, but especially for those who gave all. We pray for their families. We pray, God, for those who have experienced loss. God, we're in the midst of a season right now that is really challenging. Over and over, I've heard from people that life is just hard. So in the midst of this, God, as we take this dive into the book of Ruth, God, I pray somehow you might speak through me, that you would give every one of us that is here ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am gonna take us, I think I'm a little hot. Can we turn that down just a little bit? I am gonna take us the next few weeks through a book that you'll find in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, and I wanna encourage you to read it on your own. We're not gonna cover every ounce of it, but I wanna encourage you to do a deep dive into the book of Ruth. It is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story of deep loss, of deep pain. It's a fascinating story of redemption and possibility. And I want to encourage you to read it on your own. Try to read it. Each week we're sort of hitting a chapter. Try to read it before we get to it so you can have some context, recognizing that you read this story of Ruth through your own context as well, through your own life, through your own realities. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on to give you some background. There's a story, and the story of these two people, Elimelech and Naomi. And they're married, and they have this life together, and they have these two sons. They're so grateful to have their sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now, you're going to need to remember those names. There will be a test at the end. So remember, Mahlon and Chilion, if you forget, you will not get the prize. Really, you're not going to have to remember their names. They're gone pretty soon in the story. But there's a story, and they have these two boys, and then Elimelech dies. And what you need to understand of this time is that if the patriarch in a family dies, it's really difficult for the family, really challenging for them. But the good news for Naomi is she still has two sons. Her two sons get married, and they marry someone named Orpah and someone named Ruth. And then tragedy strikes again and again. The two sons die, leaving these three women together in a society and in a culture where three women together have no stature. They have no authority over their land. They can't even control their own stuff. It's really problematic for these three women. And Naomi is really in pain. She's really struggling. What do? I have to take care of these two women when I can't even take care of myself. How do I deal with this? So time passes, and she decides that she's going to leave the land that she's living in and go back to the land of her birth, Bethlehem. And at this decision, she says something to these two daughters-in-law. I want you to see this. Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up?" What a strange question, right? Even if I had babies today, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? "No, my daughters. It is bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Think about this. She looks at these two women and she's like, "Get away from me. Get out of here. It is too hard for me to see your face. Because when I see your face, it reminds me of all of this loss. When I see your face, it causes me so much pain." She says, "Go back to your own mothers," as if to disown them. "Find someone to marry," because what Naomi knew was that for them, if they didn't find somebody to marry, they'd never have anything. They'd be at a loss. And she says, "Go, find your own story. because the two of you remind me of too much pain. It's too hard. See, you thought Orpah was going to be the major character in this story, right? The book's named after her. You thought Orpah was going to be the one, but look what Orpah does. It says, at this, they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. See, Ruth has a different response to her mother-in-law than Orpah does. She clings to her. She's not leaving. What does this look like? What's the purpose of this? I think this looks like amazing loyalty. Incredible loyalty in a thing that doesn't make any sense. Have you ever had somebody who's loyal to you at a time when it just doesn't make sense? Like maybe you're a pain in the rear. Maybe you're hard to hang out with. Maybe you're difficult and they say, I don't care. I'm sticking with you. Perhaps you've heard bits of this story before because a lot of this concept of loyalty and devotion that's in our own Christian life comes from this person, Ruth, who said, I don't care what's going on. I'm going to walk with you. If we were to think about people who have shaped our lives, I wonder how many people in your life have been that for you. People have said, nope, I'm sticking with you. I'm going to walk with you through the pain. I'm going to walk with you through the difficult stuff. I'm going to be with you even when you're hard. See, look at what Ruth says to her after Orpah goes off. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Just like the song we just sang, where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Woo! That's powerful. If even death separates, how can Ruth control that? If even death separates us, may the Lord deal with me ever so severely. She says, Naomi, I'm with you no matter what. I'm devoted to you no matter what. Whatever the story is, I'm with you. Whatever the situation is, I'm with you. And I want you to think for a second at all that Ruth has given up by saying that. She's giving up the possibility of having kids someday. She's giving up the possibility of legacy. She's giving up the possibility of living on land, and she is stepping into the possibility of challenge and difficult on the travel. Think about what that ride was like from Moab to Bethlehem. The whole way, Naomi going, I don't want you here with me. I don't want you to be with me. And Ruth going, it's okay, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. No matter what the situation is, I'm gonna be with you. And Naomi going, awesome. Because what Naomi knows in this situation is that having Ruth with her is hard. It's too hard. But what Ruth knows is that devotion is really, really important. It's a word we don't use a lot anymore. You notice that? What it means to be devoted to someone, to stay with someone no matter what, to walk alongside someone even when they don't deserve it. I mean, Naomi wasn't kind to Ruth. She tried to push her away because Ruth reminded her of all that was lost. You know, when I read this story, Naomi kind of reminds me of a teenager. Anybody had teenage kids that tried to push you away in those seasons? That said things that were harsh to you, not because they meant it, but because they don't know how to work through those feelings and say those things that put you at arm's length because they say, I can't let you get too close because I got a lot of mess going on in here right now. And parents who say, I'm going to walk with you even though it's hard because I'm devoted to you. I mean, that's the image that I get when I see this story, this image of a teenager who's throwing a fit in Naomi and Ruth saying, it doesn't matter. Now, we're going to see how this idea of Ruth's devotion to her is manifested in the rest of the book. But I want to think about what happens in our lives and how we can show full devotion to others. What does that mean? Think about it for a second. I want you to actually picture someone in your head, in your mind, who's walked with you. Whether it's through a specific situation, maybe it's an illness. Maybe somebody who's walked with you through loss. Maybe it's somebody who's walked with you through joy, the joy of parenting. I remember we had a two-year, he was 2 years and 20 days old, and we brought home two newborn twins. Oh, that was hard. But there were people who said, you go rest, I'll hold your babies. You don't need to cook. I don't think we cooked for 6 months. I'll walk with you. That sort of devotion is powerful. It's transformative in our lives. And I want you to think about the last year, maybe the last few years. And I want you to contrast that sort of devotion with what I often see on social media. I often see people who say, if you disagree with me, get out of my life. I often see people who say, you're too hard for me, walk away. I often see people who say, I can't with you these days over some comment or something that's posted. Now listen, friends, I know we are in times where we're really, really working hard to journey for what we believe in and walk together in those things. So I want to name that. The question I want to ask you is, what can we learn from this story about our calling to be loyal to one another, about our calling to walk with one another? I have seen people break up friendships, lifelong relationships over one article that they posted. And my question is, where is the loyalty? Ruth was devoted to the future. I think about this church. When I got here 4 years ago, I had these meetings where I listened to you all, and the thing I heard over and over again from people was people said, we want to care for our community. We look out and we see so much pain, we see so much hurt. Think about the last 4 years, and listen, this church was doing that long before I ever got here, but I only have a frame of reference of 4 years. Think about the last 4 years and how devoted you've been to this community. We have like 9 school partnerships right now because of your loyalty to this community. We have a great relationship with the local shelter. We've started a 501c3 on health and wellness to destigmatize mental illness. Friends, you are fully devoted people to the community that you live in, and I want you to know that that delights the heart of God. It brings joy to the heart of God. Devotion and loyalty matters, because you know what? There are a lot of churches that sit in a community. I'm not trying to be judgmental right now, but there are a lot of churches that sit in a community that just take up space. They have no loyalty or devotion to the people around them. And the biblical mandate for us is to have that loyalty and that devotion. Ruth gives us that example. She's devoted to Naomi no matter what. She could see beyond her husband's death when all Naomi could see was the current reality she was in. Ruth was able to see beyond that God had hope for her future. She says, your God will be my God. She names that very specifically because she believes that there is hope in the God of the universe. Hope in the God of the universe who's going to take her forward. And I thought about it today as I was preparing for this. Who needs a Ruth in their life right now? Who needs somebody to walk with them? Who needs that person? In 2012, the London Marathon had 37,000 runners. And the person who won finished it in 2 hours and 4 minutes. Isn't that amazing? 2 hours and 4 minutes for a marathon. I'm not even calculating what the mile rate is on that. But there was a woman named Simone, who was 39, who took 3 times that long. Simone's a person that has seizures, and she knows she has seizures. So in order to train for this race, she realized she needed to train with another friend that could be there just in case she had a seizure. Simone has this friend named Tally, and Tally ran with her, and for the first 7 miles, it was glorious. No problem at all. They're running the London Marathon. Simone is like so happy she can't believe she's made it 7 miles and all is well. And then mile 8 happened. She had a stomach problem that triggered a seizure and she went down, and Tally caught her right as she went down. For 30 seconds, she completely blacked out. And she got up and, believe it or not, she started running again. Over the next 18 miles, she had 19 more seizures. 19 seizures over 18 miles, and every time Tally caught her. She eased her to the ground. She protected her until she regained consciousness. And every time they got up and they continued. And by the time they got to 15 miles, Simone was in tears. She was so annoyed that she had lost her pace that she had planned for. But by that stage, she had had so many seizures and she was still standing and she thought, I'm just gonna finish it. Look at these women. Y'all, that is devotion. Now, you don't have to have seizures for needing somebody to pick you up and hold you, do you? You don't have to have that reality in your life for needing somebody to catch you when you fall down. Who do you need to be a tally for right now? Who needs a tally in their life? And who's a Simone right now and needs a tally to walk with them? Who needs that? Like Ruth, Tally stayed with her friend. She helped her find hope to get to the finish line. She walked with her. Man, our preschoolers were up here this week. They were singing these songs. And every year it's the same song. And I really like them and it's super fun. But they added a new song this year. And this song was about failure. And it said something like, I'll fail and I'll fail and I'll keep going until the end. And at the end, I'll start again. And I sat there thinking about this story of Ruth and listening to these little kids sing this song. And I thought, man, don't we need people to walk with us through our failures? Don't we need people to help us start again? Don't we need people to walk with us? I believe that God delights when we are loyal to other people. Why? Because God in God's very nature is loyal to us. God is so loyal to us. God walks with us through the messes of life. Even when we reject God, God is there. I'm doing a funeral this week, and I was talking to the person about the person who's died. And I said, I want you to be very, very clear. Scripture is very, very clear that there is nothing in life or in death that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing. God's devotion is like nothing we've ever seen or heard of. Years ago, I was working with middle school students, and we tried on a regular basis to have them get up and sort of share their story about God. And this young woman gets up. She had a real powerful story. And she said that I really was connected to God and all this stuff. And she said, and then God left me for a few years. And afterwards, I sat down with her and I said, hey, I loved your story. Thank you for sharing. I just want to correct one thing. God never left you. God never left you. God walked with you through all of those difficult times you just didn't know. And God was there on the other side. See, this concept of devotion is not one that we have to create on our own. This concept of loyalty is not something that we have to muster up from within us. We just have to tap into the attitude of God, into the love of God for others. So as I was thinking about this and I was thinking about our reality and our world right now, I know some of you are probably frustrated with me that I say, don't give up on everybody. Some of you might feel a little convicted this morning, as I have felt convicted, about friends that I've muted, either physically on social media or just in my own personal life. About people in my extended family that I've sort of put at bay a little bit because it's hard. But friends, the God of the universe calls us to loyalty, not to be abused, let me be clear, but to loyalty, to walk with people, to walk with that grumpy neighbor who only complains about your yard, to walk with that family member who's ideologically different than you, to walk with your coworker who doesn't work as hard as you do. Friends, loyalty is not based on this scripture right here, something that has to be earned. Loyalty is something that we offer because God is loyal to us, that we share with the world in that way. I know how hard it is when we disagree on fundamental realities, but I wonder where our faith would be if we could say to someone, I'm not gonna let our differences be the thing that causes dissension in our relationship? Is it possible? Is it possible that we could restore our faith in humanity right now? Is it possible that we can be more like Ruth and less like Naomi? Is it possible that we could walk with people through these challenging times of life? Now, you may be in a space right now where you have a really difficult relationship with someone else. Maybe somebody's dealing with a mental health concern, an issue. Maybe someone's pushing you away. I want to encourage the pause. Because I think when we don't pause, we say things that are really harmful to one another. If I act on initial impulses, I'm rarely acting on goodness and kindness. If I act on the first thing that pops in my head instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do some work in me, then I might be more like Orpah, who had every right to leave, than I would like Ruth. But when I think about my life, I want to be like Ruth. I want to have that life that's transformative to other people, to walk with other people, to journey with other people. And I encourage you in the pause, because devotion and loyalty are an indispensable trait. Indispensable trait. I think about, in our church, our confirmation mentors. And people who give weeks upon weeks upon weeks to invest in the lives of students. I think about, we're about to celebrate our son's graduation, and his kindergarten teacher and his sixth grade teacher are going to come to the party. Because they were formative people in his life. Frankly, I think teachers are some of the most devoted people in the world. The loyalty in them is incredible, to come in day after day after day. Friends, be that legacy in someone else's story. Not because of the glory, not because you want to go to the grad party, but be that legacy because that is what transforms someone's life. Walk alongside them. Let them experience God. So what do I want you to do? I want to encourage you today, if there has been someone that has been loyal in your life, I don't care if it's your spouse, I don't care if it's your brother, I don't care if it's your neighbor, I don't care if it's your first grade teacher who's still alive, write them a note. Say thank you. Thank you for being loyal to me. Thank you for walking through life with me. Thank you when I was tough for doing the hard work. I'm going to do that for somebody in my life. If you have someone that's been that for you, do the work. Let them go. No, because you know what that encouragement does? It encourages more. It pushes people to do that again for someone else. Oh, it made a difference in your life. I want to do it again. But it also, as you write the note, might make you think about, who do you want to be loyal to? Who do you want to offer devotion to? I'll end with this before we receive communion today. We're going to learn next week that Naomi changes her name. She literally changes her name to Mara, which means bitter. Don't call me by my name. And you know what? Ruth refuses to call her bitter. Because what Ruth sees is love. I wonder if the God of love can be transformative enough for you and me to not rename people to bitter, but to see them with love. Amen.